When God got around to creating Ireland, whatever about anything else, he designed it as a perfect place to sail around. The course retains a magic all of its own for most sailors. However, when the ingredients include an ultra-modern ocean racing catamaran, extreme weather from gale to calm, and a diverse crew attempting to break the all-time record, the outcome is captivating. Well, for me at least. Enda O'Kaneen is the name. To date, my life has revolved around boats and the oceans of this world. So when the opportunity arose to sail around Ireland, in an attempt to establish a record, only a leather whip and iron bars would have stopped me. Our craft, a massive 60-foot ocean racing catamaran, British Airways 1, skippered by world-renowned yachtsman Robin Knox Johnson, verges on the dimensions of a tennis court. With a mast that towers 80 feet into the air, she is an enormous machine and, unlike conventional yachts, is capable of speeds of up to 30 miles per hour. Our crew, a 9-strong motley bunch, include Bernard Gallet, a big, burly rugby player who last came to Ireland to represent France at Lansdowne Road. Then there was John Guinness, a lifelong sailing enthusiast, as is his wife Jennifer Guinness, a lady who won the hearts and minds of many people throughout the world after her recent kidnap ordeal. Then, complete with Dermot Mangan, Liam Lawler, Winky Nixon, John Hall and myself, our crew came together. While very much a part of the team, I took a tape recorder along as well, and as we departed Dunleary on a blustery Sunday afternoon in May, we start with Jack and George, boatmen at the National Yacht Club.
The wind about northeast out there at the moment, and it may last for the, I don't know how long perhaps, but I didn't get the forecast.
Would you like to be going yourself, Jack?
I would, I'd love a trip on her, yeah.
Well, I would certainly reiterate what Jack has just said, and I certainly hope they have a good go at it. I certainly hope they make it.
What do you think of the conditions today?
A bit blustery, but they'll manage all right.
Okay, well, you'll be actually towing the boat out, will you?
Yes, myself and Jack will be towing it out. We have to be careful about how we take it out in case we catch one of the scoops on the Kufasa. So Jack will be acting as the drag boat to take the stern out while I tow her out forwards. And then we'll be heading her up into wind while they set sail, and then that's our job done.
Now, Mr. Nixon, what do you think about this trip? We're heading out towards the Kish Lighthouse for... going to start the record there. What are your feelings at this stage?
Well, I was scared stiff of the whole business beforehand, but the best thing was to do the delivery trip up from Plymouth and savour our first bit of bad Irish weather off Arklow. And now we're far more accustomed to the boat.
You feel happier on board?
Absolutely deliriously happy. The company is great.
How do you feel, Jenny?
A bit excited, a bit scared, and I'm just debating whether we'll make a cup of coffee or not.
Well, I think we have the wind in our favour for the first day. It's very, very exciting. It didn't seem such a good idea 8 o'clock this morning, but things are looking up now. We all seem to be settling down very well, so it's very exciting.
Did you have a good breakfast?
Yes, we had probably our last cooked breakfast for 2 or 3 days, so we certainly ate well this morning.
Tipperary, this is British Airways 1. Over.
Six.
Six going up. Tipperary, British Airways 1.
Yes, sir, loud and clear. We're inward bound into Dublin. We will be passing about a mile and a half north of the Bennett Bank. And we should be at the Bailey at about 12:35.
You'll probably see it right there.
That's just for your information.
What are we talking about?
Tipperary, this is British Airways 1. Very many thanks. Thank you for letting us know. We'll avoid you. Over.
The seas were too rough for an ordinary pleasure craft to come out and officially start us, so Dunleary Lifeboat is to come out and see us off. But so far, we've been trying to trace them. We cannot find them. We do not know whether they're coming or not.
Many thanks.
Dunleary Lifeboat Station. Over.
Dunleary Lifeboat Station, British Airways 1. Good afternoon, ma'am. Can you tell us what is happening to the lifeboat? Is she on her way out to the Kish or not? Over.
British Airways 1, the new lifeboat station. Roger, The lifeboat has slipped its mooring and is just coming out of the harbour now. Over.
Dundee Lifeboat Station, British Airways. Thank you very much for that. Understood. We are now making our way out towards the Kish, and we'll get sight of her shortly. Thanks very much. Back 16.
We've got the Kish lighthouse beam now. We're wearing around ship. We're going to jibe around. Seas are quite steep, quite close together. I suppose the wave heights are about 15 feet. Over the deck we've got about 40 knots of wind, which is gale force. Jibe completed. And we're off. We're creaming along at about 15 knots. She's flying. What's the time exactly? It's 17 minutes past one. Sunday. It's quite emotional looking at the Kish Lighthouse from here. It's going to be a long, hard slog. Hopefully within 3 days we will see it once again and actually break the record. Certainly at the rate we're moving now, there'll be no stopping us. It's lashing with rain. The sea is overcast. The wind is freed off. We've rounded South Rock, which is on the southern shore of County Down. It's a light ship. We've been making absolutely fantastic time. We've been averaging about 17 or 18 knots. Already we're approaching Belfast Lock, and we're just crossing the Stranlarn car ferry. We had a British coastal patrol ship keeping an eye on the border, presumably. She tried to keep up with us, and we were talking with her on VHF radio. Her maximum speed was about 16 and a half knots, and we were actually going faster with her. This is a remarkably quick time to Belfast. The wind has lightened off a bit now, though there are gale warnings for this part of the ocean. I'm sitting in at the chart table. The weather has settled considerably as we alter course around the top of Ireland. We've cleared Belfast Lock and we're now approaching East Maidens, pointing towards the Mull of Kintyre. The North Channel is a fascinating stretch of water. It's about 10 miles wide at the narrowest point between the Mull of Kintyre and North of Ireland. The navigation area is an interesting part of the boat. I'm hunched up here. Again, the average height throughout the ship is 3.5 feet. Hunched up, and on my left-hand side, I have a facsimile receiver which records weather forecasts, and every couple of hours gives out a printout of up-to-date weather situations. Beside that, I have a Decca yacht navigator, which works on navigational chains, puts out a radio signal, and you cross the two signals on this machine. It's a wonderful bit of electronic gadgetry. Beside that again, it's almost like a backup system. We have a Walker satellite navigator. This picks up positions from the navigator. And then our next instrument is a ship-to-shore radio telephone. It's possible to make a telephone call virtually anywhere in the world by linking up with radio stations. Beside this again, we have a single sideband Locata radio direction finder, which also doubles up as a radio. Ticking away in the background is the log, clocking off the 100ths of miles as we cruise along, and beside that is a speedometer. Then on my right-hand side, I have various navigational books, instruments, a maze of switches, and turning around, we have the autopilot, which is not in operation at the moment, but when used for short-handed sailing, is extremely useful. At the moment, Jenny Guinness is preparing our first dinner at sea. She's been busy peeling the spuds, and there's a big hole in my stomach. I'm certainly looking forward to dinner. With the heavy weather, we have split the crew up into two watches. I'm obviously on watch at the moment while the other watch are sleeping, and we will have our dinner on the split watches between the two watches when everybody's up. It's absolutely a gorgeous evening now. The sun has come out, and we've got the mountains and hills of Scotland on our starboard beam, and Northern Ireland on our port beam. It's very, very scenic and very, very beautiful. It makes all the horrible parts of sailing, it really makes up for it. This is really, really great stuff. Inish Thal bearing 200. By taking constant bearings with a hand bearing compass, we can check our position as we go around this Inish Thal on the northern tip of Ireland. Though we have quite sophisticated electronic navigation gear, you can never be sure, and there's nothing like the old hand-bearing compass to double-check on positions. So it's coming up now, it's bearing south, so quite shortly we'll be altering course about 25, 30 degrees, the next landmark being Tory Island. So hopefully we get to Tory when it's bright. It's a bit of a shame to skim past this coastline in the black of night and not see any of it.
Bernard, would you like your sheets adjusted?
Sorry?
Would you like the sheets adjusted on the spinnaker?
What's the storm tomorrow?
I think we're ready to alter course.
Are you far out from us? Over.
No, Tory Island. In fact, I'll probably come in within a couple of miles of you. I'll give you a call as I get closer, so maybe you'll see me in the loom of your light, over.
Roger, we'll be looking out for you. We'll take a look with the binoculars and see you when you're passing down. Okay, I was talking to Eagle Island earlier on there about an hour ago, and they had something similar in weather to ourselves here. Force 3 from the southeast, and a fine clear night down there too, over.
Well, that's most of it. We've just been a little lucky with this weather now. We left Dublin yesterday at about 1:15, and wind's been very good to us so far. But we need a little bit of luck now from here on right down to Mizenhead, and then hopefully a southwesterly, and we should stand a good chance. But, well, you know as well as I do, you need luck in all these things, over.
Yes, you're doing fine so far anyway, and you never know, you might get the bit of luck you need. The ones are a bit lighter on the west coast than they were on the east. But as you say, with the bit of luck, you never know. Right, we're listening out here, and we'll tell Eagle how you're getting on the other set, and they'll be listening for you when you come down towards them too. All the best for the moment. You can give us a shout when you're passing, and a safe journey.
Tory Island, this is British Airways 1. Yes, many thanks, and as I say, I'll give you a call when I'm a couple of miles from passing you, and see if you can see us, over.
Roger, that's fine.
I'm now standing on the aft deck. We're whizzing along at some 15 knots. The wind is about 25 knots over the deck. We've had a very fast, exciting sail over the last 6 hours. We've just crossed Donegal Bay, leaving the fishing port of Killybegs in on our port beam. Rounded a headland now, and in on our beam is Black Sod Bay, and we're making time very, very quickly on Eagle Island. From Eagle Island, we turn further south and head straight on down the west coast of Ireland. How did you feel on the helm, Liam?
Well, last night in the dark with the spinnaker up, doing 20 knots in pitch dark was something else. It's a hell of a change from keelboat sailing.
So what's that headland you're steering?
We're just coming up to Eagle Island now. I think we're about 4 miles off it. A very desolate island, I would imagine.
Is this your first time up along this area?
It's my first time on the west coast of Ireland, sailing. It's a different ball game.
That's interesting, that rolling Atlantic swell. You don't get that on the Irish Sea.
No.
The first time you've experienced that.
No, you get it down the south coast of Ireland. You get a very gentle one. I remember a few years ago coming out of Crookhaven there. It was a bit of a surprise coming out to find a lovely, even swell. Very, very comfortable. Much different than what you get in the Irish Sea.
It's a desolate-looking place, Eagle Island, there, isn't it?
It is indeed. It is indeed.
How's allowed to be a lighthouse keeper?
Well, if you had plenty of Rachmaninoff and Dvorak and that, I'm sure you'd survive somehow.
Well, did you get a good sleep last night? How do you feel after living in this discomfort now, where we're in our second day at sea?
When you go off watch, you're normally fairly tired, and you can crash out on anything and go to sleep, I find. You certainly sleep nearly. When I go off for 3 hours, I sleep nearly for the full 3 hours. Then reluctantly, you get the dig in the ribs to get up again.
British Airways 1, this is Black Sod. Good morning. Lovely to hear your voice again. Will you stand by, please? I have somebody, public relations, on the telephone. So I have established contact with you, so will you stand by, please? Can you give me a rough position at the moment? Over.
Black Sod, British Airways 1, yes. I will stand by. We're about 6 miles northeast of Eagle just now, and we are coming in quite broken. Certainly I will talk to them now, but it may be better that we talk in about half an hour's time, but I'll try now. Over.
Roger. Maybe I'll get them to transfer to Eagle Island. You should have good contact with Eagle. I'll probably tell them to contact Eagle. Over.
Well, I think, in fact, you're coming in a bit better now, so we can try through this if you like. Over.
Okay, stand by.
Stand by.
This is Black Sod. Okay, I just have a few brief questions for you. How do you think your time, how are you, how do you think time is there for the record attempt? And what are weather conditions re the record attempt? Over.
The answer to the first one is the time. We're very pleased with our time so far, but we are slightly apprehensive about the weather that we're going to run into. From the forecast, it's rather difficult to tell what we're going to get, but we have had good information from both Sline and Loop that the wind is still favourable down that way. Over.
Okay, just stand by.
Hello, British Airways 1. Good morning. This is a pleasant surprise. I'm stuck for words now. Over.
Black Sod, British Airways 1. Ted, nice to hear your voice. I was just thinking of wondering how I was going to give you a call when your son came on asking me a question about the people in Dublin.
Oh, well, it's marvellous here, you know, marvellous. You won't be on the trip, I suppose, but anyway, I hope you win this thing. I think you're on a bit of a race or something. Over.
Yes, Ted, I wish she'd been there so that I could have said hello to her. We're trying to beat a time record rather than a race, and we're having a great sail at the moment. As I say, do you remember the day you came to meet us when our legs wouldn't carry us all the way down to you? I often think of that day. We had a great time that day. And the tea, do you remember the tea we had in the lighthouse with the grandchildren? How are they?
Hello. Loud and clear. Yes, I do. Noah, you won't get away with that. Your legs would never fail you. Never. So there you are. Indeed, I do remember that day. Indeed, we very, very often speak about it. And, we talk about you a lot. An awful lot lately. So that's it. Well, now I hope you'll make good time. Apparently the weather is in your favour anyway. I think you're going south, Vincent said. So the wind, what's wind today? Southeast. I know that should favour you a bit. Wee bit. Well, you sound better than ever, better than ever. Well, now I could keep talking to you for a month and still not say anything. I'm that excited over hearing both of you. Over.
I'll just give you back to himself, Ted. He'll see you on the trip. And give my love to everybody and say happy birthday to David for me. Over and out.
It's 1800 hours, Monday evening. What an extreme change in weather. Earlier this morning we were racing along in 30 knots over the deck, 25 knots over the deck. Now we're on the verge of becalmed. We've cleared Slyne Head on our port beam. We've left Inishbofin and Inishturk. We've plotted a course now directly for Skelligs, which are 120, 130 miles due south approximately. The sun is glaring down. It's absolutely a gorgeous evening. It's reflecting off the ocean in several different colours of blue onto the white clouds, grey clouds, and then the blue sky. The spinnaker is an enormous sail we put up when the wind is behind us. The wind has gone around to the north-northwest. It's about 3,500 square feet of sail area, and we're ghosting along at about 3.5 knots, which is way below the average we need to maintain if we're to break the record. The average we must maintain is 8 knots approximately.
Yes, coming in towards the Blasket Islands, which are off the southwest corner of Ireland. We've then got to tack round this southwest corner until we get to the Fastnet Rock. And then it should be one straight tack all the way up to Tusker Rock. Over.
Well, are you happy with your progress so far, Robin? Over.
Yes, reasonably so. We could have done without being becalmed yesterday. We lost a lot of time then. Over.
Well, at this rate, when do you hope to be back at the ship? Over.
I'm a bit conservative about this sort of thing, Roy, but it's possible we could get back there tomorrow afternoon, evening. Over.
Well, you've obviously had a very fast passage, but has it been a smooth one?
No, the touring conflict. If we're going fast, it's not very smooth. Certainly, the first 5 hours up to Belfast Lough were very, very rough and bumpy, and it wasn't that calm round the northern coast. Just at the moment, we're bouncing around all over the place. Over.
What has been the most difficult part of the trip? Over.
Any sailor will tell you the most difficult part is when you're becalmed. The one thing we don't like is having no wind. Over.
Well, have the winds been favourable to you mostly? Over.
Yes, they're on the head now. We're close-hauled, which is not the fastest point of sailing, but at least we've got wind. Over.
And are the crew behaving themselves, Robin?
The crew have been first rate, absolutely first rate. I couldn't have asked for a better crew for this trip. Over.
Thanks very much, Robin. I think that's okay. Is there anything else that was worth relating on the trip? On board, Robin. Over.
Well, Roy, you haven't seen the boat, so you can't visualise it, but we've got headroom of about 3'6". We've had six people all asleep in a little cabin which is 8 foot by 10 feet. We cook in a cabin which is about 4 foot by 6 foot, and currently I'm sitting in the navigation area, which is about 6 feet long and about 10 feet wide and 3'6" high. So you can imagine it's all very cramped, especially when you've got nine people jammed into it. Over.
Winky, how much? What sort of course are we holding out there?
I think we're on about 205, which is just west of south. We're laying very nicely outside the Blaskets. I think we're about 6 miles outside the Blaskets, and we can see everything on the Blaskets, including the hens out on the farm on Mr. Hawkey's Island, and himself picking the eggs up.
Very sharp eyesight this hour of the morning. Is it wet out there?
We're all as bright as buttons this morning. It's very wet out there and salty, and we're told we're going to get hailstones to clean us off. We should round the morning out just beautifully.
Now tell me, Bernard, how are you enjoying your porridge?
Oh, yes. I really like the English porridge. That's very good.
But that's Irish porridge.
Oh, well, that's even better then.
Yes, we have this rare chef imported from France at great expense, and we're having breakfast. It's about 900 hours in the morning. We're bouncing around in a fairly choppy sea. The sun is out. Dermot, how are you enjoying your porridge?
This porridge is beautiful, Enda.
Can you describe the sensation of porridge off the Blasket Islands at 9 o'clock in the morning, bouncing around in the sea?
Well, the Blaskets are moving a bit behind. It's the Skelligs I'm looking forward to because I spent a lot of time in that part of the country. But the porridge is beautiful. Really lovely, honestly.
I believe you.
That porridge is like Jesus Christ coming down your throat with a black velvet trousers.
Can I scratch my head over that one? Our breakfast has settled. It's now 10:30 hours Tuesday morning. The wind is blowing steady 25 knots. We've got two reefs in and the jib reefed. We're beating into this south-easterly wind towards Inishvikilon. We've passed the Inishtarach Island, and we're looking at the Blaskets, and on the other side of Dingle Bay we can see Valentia Island, Brayhead, Puffin Island, and then the Great Skellig itself. We are trying to weather the Great Skellig, and once we get around Jersey Head, we then head for Sheep's Head and the Mizzen before bearing off to head up the southwest coast of Ireland, and hopefully if this wind will hold, we'll make very, very good time indeed. But this is a difficult part of the voyage because we're experiencing headwinds and we're losing time on our average. We're now 46 hours at sea. We've covered 435 miles approximately with about 260 to go. All going well if we can keep up this pace, and if the wind does favour us at all, we should break the record, but anything can happen, and we're still quite tense about it all.
You're now an ashtray.
Is the opener there any place?
Oh, it's the great spanner. Windows is a very austere bulge. You have to use the can opener to open your beer bottles. I mean, a civilised John always has half a dozen of the good old triangular. Presents for the boat, the wine, I think.
Winky, British Rail has stopped fitting them to their coaches. Where was that to get one from?
You don't often have crown corks these days, do you? Crown corks.
Mostly cans and stuff.
The best ashtray for a boat is the British Rail carriage ones.
Yeah.
You get the
we would know
the best
that at all.
Ashtray is not the smoke.
He has got a damn great nose in his saying, if you must smoke, kindly do not exhale.
If you must smoke, do not exhale.
And
what a family to try and organise a kidnap with. They'd be so busy trying to bring a black of nose when they don't.
When, of course, it was absolutely right, the one thing you need to do with these people is get them slightly off balance. So it's not as though expecting it. And you coming in and roaring with laughter would have to be totally bewildered.
Bang, bang, you're dead.
Straight out of Monty Python.
You know, this bloody chap with a rifle, with an automatic rifle and a revolver.
But you don't expect to find in your hall when you go home.
Quarter past five in the afternoon. Oh, well.
It was very funny on the radio when they were talking about trying to decide what kind of criminal they were. And one of the men, they commented that, well, they weren't very professional. Before they left the house, they ripped out the phone and said, we'll be in touch with you.
We managed to speed up a bit last night, and we've been beating around this southwest corner most of the day, hoping that once we get round Fastnet, we'll be able to free off slightly and speed up a touch, over.
Yeah, we've had southerly winds here right along the south coast of Ireland, but easing off, we've only got two here now. We're about 12 miles southwest of the Bishop at the moment. When we rounded Tusker this morning, it was southerly force four, if that.
thanks to you. Yes, we'll do our best. And nice chatting to you. And have a good trip to Halifax, ever.
The forecast from northern, eastern, southeastern coastal waters from Malinhead to Holthead to Roaches Point and the Irish Sea. The wind south to southeast 5 or 6, gradually decreasing southeast or variable force 2 to 4. Showers, some heavy, visibility good except in showers. The forecast for southwestern, I beg your pardon, forecast for southwestern, western, northwestern coastal waters from Roaches Point to Slinehead to Malinhead. The wind south to southeast about force 4, decreasing to variable force 3 or less. Showers, some heavy, visibility good except in showers.
We're sitting in the galley. It's an unusual affair. It's a bit difficult to visualise other than that the maximum height is 3.5 feet. Perhaps you could take us on a guided tour, Jenny. Shall we go for a walk around?
Well, as Enda says, you can only sit in the galley. In fact, it's a very safe galley. You have your cooker on the forward bunk bulkhead, which is a little two-ring gas burner fixed. Underneath that you've stowage for the saucepans and the plates. And beside the cooker you've two shelves for all the bits and pieces like coffee, tea, sugar, milk, jams and anything you need. And on the after side, which is gives you a gap of about 2 foot, you have the water barrel, the lavatory and the stowage for dry goods. A big deep locker which you could about a foot deep and about 3 foot long, where you can pile all the dry goods and the hooks to hang the fruit and vegetables around behind you. In fact, though it looks appalling, it's a very good working galley. Everything is to hand. It's very safe. You can't get thrown around. And the only danger I could see if she really bounced is the saucepan might come off on top of you. However, the cooker is well fiddled. Do you remember that there are only the three compartments, the living, the navigation and the galley, and you pull down the roll of kitchen paper as a sign that you're sitting on the loo?
Yeah, in fact the loo or the head is apparently from a Boeing aircraft, and it's opens straight out to the ocean, in that effectively we're living on a platform built between two hulls, and the loo opens out between the platform and away you go. Quite simple but very effective. So I think that's about it with the galley.
And it really is quite hygienic. Though it sounds dreadful, if everybody keeps everything clean and tidy, it really isn't as unhygienic as it might sound.
After a long, hard slog clearing the southwest corner of Ireland, past Dingle Bay, Bantry Bay, around the Mizzen and the Fastnet Rock, we made our way through darkness up along the south coast. Our VHF radio was a constant source of communication, and as we made our way further and further around Ireland, a clear sense of coastal community started to emerge, with much treasured communications with the respective lightkeepers, who keep an informal coast watch and an invaluable safety feature on the coastline. Having started well, we had by this stage lost a considerable amount of ground on the record. However, we kept working hard, we kept pushing the boat, and eventually we were blessed with favourable winds. By 09:30 hours the following morning, we rounded the Tusker Rock. On turning that corner up the Irish Sea, it was like going into another climate as the wind drew aft. The sun came out, the spinnaker was set, and the crew started to sing.
Have a drink, Liam.
Might be a little beer. Steering British Airways 1. It's about 2:30. We're approaching Wicklow Head. There's about 25 knots, 20 knots of wind. We're doing 10 knots. Wicklow Head is just in the haze there. It's very, very beautiful. The sun is out. Spirits are very high.
Okay.
double speed.
Clear off.
Down.
Clear off. Clear off. Clear off. Clear off.
Clear off.
Clear off.
That hooter was music to our ears. 76 hours, 5 minutes and 34 seconds after departing the Kish, we had now returned. Having smashed some 12 hours off the record set in 1984 by Dennis Doyle's Moonduster of Cork. The atmosphere was electric and there was a sense of achievement on board, while everybody was flabbergasted by the interest from the outside world. Our jubilant skipper grinned from ear to ear as we dropped the spinnaker and made for Dunleary like a scarlet cat. Instantly the yacht took off and accelerated away at 24 knots in the beam winds. Not even the lifeboat, our fast press boats, could keep up. They eventually caught up with us all right at a press conference later in the National Yacht Club.
Are you all absolutely exhausted now?
No. But if you suggest we've got to go around again, the answer is no.
We'd have to go shopping again.
We'd have to go shopping first. We've eaten everything on board.
I'm willing to go tomorrow. I'm willing to go.
Oh, the short answer is everybody's dizzy because we went so damn
quick. Were there any moments of danger?
I think...
Scotch was getting a bit loud.
not real danger, no, but when you're pushing a boat to limits, especially with multi-hulls, you know, there comes a point where you just might let her go too far. And what the day we set out, I don't think you saw it, but we lifted a hull 8 feet. Don't tell Lord King. But there was this, we sort of seemed to hover there for an awful long time before we came back again. I think that was probably it. Were there any other moments? I think we lost the steering once, but that got fixed quickly.
But how many times did you take over the helm during the voyage?
Oh, whenever it was your watch. We did 4 hours on and 4 hours off, and everybody steered during their watch for whatever length of time the circumstances sort of worked out.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, enormously. Sometimes very frightening, but certainly it was really very enjoyable. Mind you, when the rain was raining down on the way out to the Kish, I did have second thoughts as to what we were doing, beating our way out to start on this venture.
Too late,
yes, I hate rain at sea. Pretty cold.
No, no way we're stopping to let you off then.
No.
I know this is primarily, obviously, a yachting occasion, but people are going to want to know, Mrs. Guinness, how you feel now about what happened a month ago, and if you ever think about it, and is your life getting back to normal?
Of course I think about it. For the first time, I woke up in the saloon, the wardroom. British Airways, and we were coming up from Plymouth, and my first concern was where I'd put my trousers, and that was great. So that's the beginning of getting back to normal. But of course the other thing is always in the back of my mind, and gradually it will fade. And the more of this sort of thing I do, the better.
Did it compare in any way being in a confined space?
Oh, no, because this was, this was exciting and beautiful, and you were with friends, and so it was quite different, not at all.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all very much. There are some people on my left who I think have earned a rest now.
There was no rest, but who cares? The celebrations went on for 3 days, and in many respects, with so many wonderful places to stop en route, it was daft to circumnavigate this island of ours without a break. But the non-stop record was there to be broken, and it had to be done. So the last word is perhaps left to the sardonic Winky Nixon of Ireland Afloat magazine, or perhaps, as he worried at some stages, Sunk magazine.
The boat is capsizable, and we had a very vivid illustration of this shortly after the start and then on two other occasions. But the curious thing is you learn to live with this. You learn to live with what you might call an acceptable level of apprehension, and you function accordingly. And at the end, I think people were just accepting the fact that if she went upside down, so be it. Of course, the great advantage was, at the end, once we came around the Tusker Rock and sailed up the east coast of Ireland, the water is so shallow that even if we did capsize her, she wouldn't go completely upside down, and we'd become a navigational hazard with a light on top of us or something like that.
And we sailed 704 miles. Every member of the crew had their own personal feelings about it. What was the most memorable part of the Round Ireland record to you?
Well, to be quite honest, so soon after it, I still haven't even delineated the highlights. This is the fourth time I've sailed Round Ireland. Every time it gives a profound feeling of fulfilment. It is a marvellous size to sail round, no matter how long you take to do it. The variety of the coastline is marvellous. The people you come in contact with, whether through radio or if you do happen to go into a port by meeting them, the variety is absolutely fantastic. It gives you a sense of this coastal community, which I think is the thing that most vividly came to us all during it. But doing it in a vessel that can sail, and she does utterly sail, she's no auxiliary engine whatever, that can sail at speeds of up to 25 knots puts the whole thing into an entirely different perspective. I mean, on the Monday morning, it was a grim, cold Monday morning, and yet on that Monday morning, at 5 o'clock when we came on watch, we were off Bloody Foreland, which is the northwest tip of Donegal, and 4 hours later, at the end of our watch, we were off the Stags of Broadhaven, the northwest tip of Mayo, 75 miles, logged just like that, absolutely magic sailing. It was real hovercraft stuff. In fact, when she gets her condition, she's a magic carpet. She literally floats over the water.
And finally, where does it all go from here?
Well, I think it's shown that now that the conception of a Round Ireland record has been accepted, and now that it has been accepted and shown how utterly manageable it is, it really should run and run, because people now have to be thinking in terms of 2.5 to 3 days, which is enough to get the world at large interested in the thing, to understand what is going on, and yet it doesn't go on for so long that everybody dies of boredom with it. It's a course which has everything. Contact can be maintained with the vessels involved throughout. It is just a beautiful concept, because it is so clearly defined, and it simply is whoever now sails round Ireland as quickly as possible. And I'm delighted that British Airways have now put up the Concorde Trophy, which will be held by whoever happens to be at that time the fastest boat round Ireland. It may be somebody from the Round Ireland race. It may well be there's talk of another challenge with another giant multi-hull in September, possibly from Northern Ireland. It may well be they will take it. I don't doubt that the British Airways record will not stand forever. And as Robin himself said after we'd finished, in fact, it's eminently beatable. And we know ourselves, we nearly got halfway round Ireland in 24 hours. It is not beyond the realms of possibility that some magic day somebody will manage to go round Ireland in 2 days under sail.